This is Jay Sekulow. Jerusalem, the undivided capital of the Jewish people, but not if the Palestinian Authority has their way.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
My friends, I bring greetings to you from Jerusalem, our eternal undivided capital.
The connection between the Jewish people and the land of Israel cannot be denied. The connection between the Jewish people and Jerusalem cannot be denied.
The Palestinian Authority, much like the BDS movement of today, sought to utilize an international tribunal for one purpose and one purpose only: to delegitimize the Jewish state of Israel. I argued the law, and the law was clear. The Palestinian Authority was not a state. It had no business being before the ICC, and the case must be dismissed. 2 years later, that law was established and the court did dismiss that action.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The fact of the matter is, BDS is the flip side of that same coin. We call it lawfare, utilizing the legal system to delegitimize a people or a group. It is not a civil rights movement. It is a movement with one aim and one aim only. It is a long-term project created by anti-Israel and anti-Jewish activists that is designed with one purpose: to delegitimize and destroy the state of Israel, to delegitimize the Jewish people, to delegitimize those non-Jewish people that stand with Israel.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about today. Our team at the United Nations delivering right now those letters on the issue of genocide, Christian genocide in the Middle East. That is going on as we speak. So those letters are out, the legal work on that continuing. We've got a major lawsuit, you heard in the opening, and this is the case involving the Palestinian Authority activists. But let me tell you something about the head guy, Al Tamimi. Al Tamimi is the lead plaintiff in this case. This case, which is, I can't even hold all of it up, this is the first 200 pages of the lawsuit, but there's actually 700 pages of this lawsuit. Al Tamimi, pretty familiar figure, he's the guy that encouraged New York public schools, third graders, to become freedom fighters for Palestine. He really goes after this issue of what's called blood libel. That is that Israelis harvest and Jews harvest and sell Palestinian organs. I'm not kidding you, folks. This is the position he takes. And he uses his own daughter and other children as kind of props for his activities. In the fall of 2015, he was on a speaking tour of the U.S. And, of course, he was urging American college students to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. Quote from Al Tamimi's tour: when enough people here see these videos and hear our stories, it can start a kind of intifada, popular Palestinian uprising against Israel in the United States. That's who we're fighting. And of course, this administration has done not much to help us in the effort, but we are in federal court at the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., defending the Gush Etzion Foundation from this attack. There are a number of defendants in it. So we'll take your calls on the whole situation with Israel, the president's policy on Israel. What do you think about that one? 1-800-684-3110. And his return to the 67 borders. Then we're going to get into Huma Abedin and some of her tactics. But, Jordan, let's first talk for a moment about the situation with, and this is big, this lawsuit we are in now. First briefing, by the way, due October 6th.
Yeah, and it's important, I think, as we discuss this, to keep exposing who these so-called plaintiffs are. So you've got plaintiffs who are advocating for terrorism and advocating also dangerous propaganda similar to what the Nazis employed. So when you look at all of this, I just want everybody to understand these are dangerous individuals.
Yeah, they are.
But they are, as we've been talking about, they will use terrorist means and certainly support these kind of jihadist activity. But they also use what we call, as you said, lawfare. It's a different kind of warfare. But any kind of warfare they can wage against Israel and Jews, they will.
All right, let's get people involved in the conversation. We'll take their calls, but also their comments.
All right, phone lines are open right now as we speak. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to get your voice heard, if you can't call in, there's other ways you can do it. Facebook and Periscope, we take comments that way as well. And you get to watch the show, talk to us live, television style broadcast. And I'm monitoring Facebook and Periscope and getting your comments in on the air. But again, 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice on the air. We've got a few more seconds here. Anything with ACLJ.org?
Yeah, ACLJ.org for our matching challenge campaign. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back in a moment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we are talking about our team, first of all, at the United Nations on the genocide issue, front and center. We are there today distributing our material. Fan, what's the latest on that so we can let everybody know exactly what we've done?
Yeah, this is a detailed legal letter, Jay, 13 pages to the UN Office on the Prevention of Genocide. Listen, it details the legal argument that we've been making about the obligation that the United Nations have. And we're going to have to dual front that, Jay, because to be quite honest with you, our own government is not doing as much.
Zero.
You've talked about the likely lawsuit that's pushing forward next week. But here's the reality. This is going to take a global effort. So we have to push here domestically in the United States and at the United Nations. Our teams are delivering this legal argument to make sure that the United Nations knows the obligations it has now that so many of its members have declared this genocide.
I'll tell you this. The fact of the matter is this genocide issue is unfortunately not going away, but the ACLJ is working with our partners around the globe, and we've activated our offices in Strasbourg, France, in Moscow, in Washington, of course, literally around the globe, in Africa, all engaging on this issue of defending Christians that are facing genocide. All right, we're going to get right back into your phone calls here, 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the lawsuit that we're defending in federal court in Washington, D.C., brought by a series of Palestinian activists against our client, among others, including, I mean, Motorola, GE, Caterpillar, and Gush Etzion Foundation. Great quote from David Ben-Gurion, a phenomenal quote, actually. He talks about Gush Etzion, and he says, and we're going to get that up, if there is, I'm going to read it for you. It says, "I think of no battle in the annals of Israel Defense Forces which was more magnificent, more tragic, or more heroic than the struggle for Gush Etzion. If there exists a Jewish Jerusalem, our foremost thanks go to the defenders of Gush Etzion." And we have the privilege of defending the Gush Etzion Foundation. And Logan, your team's going to be meeting in September to put a document. It's an incredible battle, an incredible story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Look it up if you haven't, if you don't know about it. And it's a little bit difficult to get into on the radio just because it's a long story, but it really is an amazing little story. So we'll do our best to tell it. And whether that's in a documentary or a feature, we'll see how
yeah, maybe you're thinking
out.
Even feature film could be a possibility.
You never know.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to, but our team's working on it. But we're in court. Our first brief is due October 6th. A follow-up brief in December, argument probably in January. So our team working on that, defending Israel's right to exist. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's go to Marjorie, who's calling on line 3.
Hey, Marjorie.
Hi. Thank you for what all that you do.
Sure.
My question was, I know that you have this case.
Yep.
But President Obama is set to vote against Israel.
Yep.
At one point, you said you had other nations that could step in.
Right.
Do you still have that?
Well, here's what we're worried about. We're worried about that President Obama between the election and the swearing in of the new president is going to push, he's already said it, very aggressively for return to the pre-67 borders, which, by the way, Gush Etzion would be under the control of the Palestinian Authority. I mean, that's how serious it is. But there are other countries that have expressed serious concern about that. Israel does have allies. And I'll go to Jordan Than on this. We do have, I mean, we're defending it obviously in court, so we're going to try to win it in the court of a public opinion. But this is a lawfare thing. They're, again, trying to delegitimize Israel. But there are countries, and we work with these countries, Brazil, others, that can be very supportive of Israel when necessary.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'd say the U.S. is most supportive because we have taken, at least until this Iranian nuclear deal, and even with that to a greater extent, to make sure that we are not typically aiding Israel's top enemies. The difference is that many other countries will have an incredibly good diplomatic relationship with Israel, and they work closely on agriculture, and not just military and weapons, but on agriculture, which Israel's been very helpful for regions, lots of different regions in Africa, for instance.
Yep.
But those countries oftentimes will also do business with the countries that would like to destroy Israel.
Right.
The difference is the United States, until the Iranian nuclear deal, was that one country that said, we're going to make sure we're not going to be helping any of your enemies either.
Right.
And so Israel's always in a unique spot. I mean, they've got a huge economy that's very important to their existence. And so they oftentimes are doing incredible work around the world in countries that, like Brazil, for instance, or even a country like, I'd say, Kenya, who may also be doing business with a country like Iran.
So there are ways to answer the caller's question. So we are utilizing, Than, multiple avenues. I mean, we're in federal court, obviously, to defeat this. But on the UN front, we have our teams working with a number of governments around the globe.
Yeah, well, on this issue of the divided Jerusalem and where these lines might be drawn, it has become necessary, Jay, for us to actually primarily focus on other countries, because you talked about the president advocating for 1967 lines, but it's not just that. I mean, Secretary Kerry also went out and openly said that the Golan Heights is not part of Israel. They also slow-walked the promised vetoes at the Security Council, which is how you actually block these things at the United Nations. So what we are doing, we're not giving up on the United States, especially in next administration, but it has become imperative that we now work with the other members of the P5 of the Security Council, because the United States, they have always looked to the United States on this, Jay, and the United States is not willing to lead now, so we have to look to those other permanent members.
All right. A couple comments have come in via Facebook or Periscope. Lucia said, prayers without ceasing, defense of Israel and trust in God. Anyone who stands against Israel shall face God. We need not worry. Well, you know, it is interesting. Thank you so much for your prayers. Robert just said, Israel's God's country.
I want you to pray, but I will worry.
Yes, we will worry. It will always be God's country, no matter who runs it. Well, these are statements you got to be careful with, folks.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so here's the problem. I mean, I think that, you know, God is in control and sovereign in the universe. I have no doubt about that. But he gave us a brain. We've got to use it. I appreciate the prayers and sentiments from our friends on Facebook and Periscope. But our job is we can't determine what God's going to do. God determines that. But here's what I have to go on. Hard evidence. So let me play you two examples of that hard evidence. First, here's what President Obama thinks about Jerusalem being in the part of Israel, because he'll mention this 1967 borders. So let's first listen to President Obama, May 2011.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps, so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
There is nothing in the pre-1967 borders that secures Israel, period, including divides Jerusalem, by the way. And then here's what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say about it.
The connection between the Jewish people and the land of Israel cannot be denied. The connection between the Jewish people and Jerusalem cannot be denied. The Jewish people were building Jerusalem 3,000 years ago, and the Jewish people are building Jerusalem today. Jerusalem is not a settlement. It's our capital.
Let me tell you how important that is. Because Gush Etzion, that area, which is right outside of Jerusalem, the Palestinian Authority and their agitators try to call it a settlement or an occupied territory. And we're not going to buy that narrative. That's not legally correct. It's not correct under international law. It's absurd, okay? Period. And the idea that this is what's being promulgated in this lawsuit, but also by others, is problematic.
Yeah, and I'd say, too, to the comments of, well, don't worry too much about the world because of God's in control. And obviously, God is in control. But two things. One, I do believe, you know, the Jewish people through the biblical promise will always survive. But survive does not mean thrive.
Right.
Survive means, the Jewish people survived the Holocaust, but barely.
Right.
And they were able to establish Israel. For our country, founded on these Judeo-Christian values, there's no promises. There's no promises that USA survives. I mean, we don't get that biblical promise.
Right.
Because you know what? It's all up to us. We, unlike most countries in the world, elect our leaders. We are directly responsible. We are not living in Romans 13. We are Romans 13. We are the ones who make the kings,
right,
and the presidents in our country. And because of that, we have, I think, even a greater responsibility to realize, just like Rome and other empires, and we're pretty close to that, even more so,
right,
as a superpower, that at any moment this can all fall apart. And
yep,
the U.S. is not necessarily the strongest country in the world a decade from now, if we don't always vote, make sure we're really vetting who we're voting for, and care deeply about our country from the bottom elections, you know, state, local, all the way up to the top.
Yep. All right.
Absolutely. Well, you only got 2 minutes. You want to take a quick call, though?
If you can.
Let's go to John on line 4 in Minnesota.
Hey, John.
Hi, Jay. First of all, I want to thank you for your wonderful response to the calling that God's given you through many, many decades.
Yep.
My question is about this generation in America that's called the millennial generation.
Yeah.
Do you see any striking illustrations or cutoffs there between, like, say, the old Jesus movement, hippie generation, and the current millennial generation?
Well, the hippie movement, though, here's the difference. During the Jesus Revolution, I mean, I came to faith kind of right at the end of that, the Jesus movement. And the fact of the matter is, and this is just the nature of the story, it's true, it was very pro-Israel. There were a lot of Jewish people that also came to faith in believing Jesus was the Messiah, but they maintained their Jewish heritage and identity, but they were also strong supporters of Israel. That is not the case right now with the millennials, and this is a big issue, and that's why we're doing this BDS conferences all over the country this next year. I mean, we're working very closely with the Israeli government on this, very, very closely. So, yes, we got it. We have our work cut out. We're going to do it. All right, we cleared a lot of phone lines out, Logan, because we're going to get into some of the Huma Abedin matter on Hillary Clinton coming back from the break.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 to get involved in that conversation. I'm sure you're going to want to. 1-800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope always open. Lines, no one can stop us there. Facebook and Periscope, we are live now. Just search Jay Sekulow.
So Huma Abedin, just to give you a little tease of what's coming, and the main advisor to Hillary Clinton, she just happened to work for a radical Muslim journal for only a dozen years. We'll talk about that. We come back from the break and take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. By the way, we are still a bit behind on our national matching challenge campaign. About 1,600 donors behind, about $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 behind. So if you can help us out, we're getting near the end here, folks, to meet our challenge. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And we'll take your, we really appreciate your support, and it'll be matched. ACLJ.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200.
Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Can't you see what? Can't you see what that woman has been doing to me?
Well, I would think this is an appropriate song for this next segment of the broadcast. Huma Abedin, she is Hillary Clinton's number one aide. She worked for a radical Muslim journal for a dozen years. The journal was founded by her mother. The journal's, let's get the name of the journal. I believe it's the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs. There is a line in this journal about 9/11. And this is, Huma Abedin is on the masthead of this, folks. This is Hillary Clinton's number one person. The spiral of violence, having continued unabated worldwide and widely seen to be allowed to continue, was building up intense anger and hostility within the pressure cooker that was kept on a vigorous flame while the lid was weighted down with various kinds of injustices and sanctions. It was a time bomb that had to explode, and explode it did on September 11th, changing in its wake the way of life and times of the very community and the people it aimed to serve. So this is a pretty strong statement, basically blaming the United States for 9/11. She said she listed it, Huma Abedin was listed as an assistant editor on the masthead on the issue in 2002. She suggested that the U.S. was doomed to be attacked on 9/11 because of the sanctions it leveled against Iraq and other injustices allegedly heaped on the Muslim world. This is the woman that will have the biggest ear of Hillary Clinton and will be advising her on Middle East affairs.
And Huma Abedin actually went to the same undergrad I did, George Washington University. Her name has been on that masthead since the 1990s. And she did not leave the journal as a masthead, as an editor and publisher, until she took the State Department job in 2008. So even when she was in the Senate, even when she was working on these campaigns, I mean, and it's not just this comment about 9/11, which is outrageous, written by her mother. And, you know, there's been a lot of people, and they were all said, oh, they're conspiracy theorists that she's Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, I think it's fair to say her family is linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. They're not necessarily Hamas. They're not necessarily
the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, yeah, but Hamas is the military wing of the Muslim Brotherhood.
They're not, cousins, you know, so. They're not Al-Qaeda.
Right.
But they are hardline Islamists that are anti-Israel and anti-America. Even this, though, I think, you know, for Hillary Clinton, who's playing up the feminism and the women's vote and all these issues, they wrote in this headline, women's rights are Islamic rights, but argues, now, so that's, they're always misleading. This is 1996, Huma Abedin's name was on this. Okay, but that article argues that single moms, working moms, so even married mothers who work, gay couples with children should not be recognized by law as families. It also states that it talks about the clothing and how they want to cover everyone up. And so, again, I think that this just goes against that narrative that Hillary Clinton tries to play up. And to me, it's that trustworthiness. Do you really trust Hillary Clinton if you're a strong feminist, a woman voter who's maybe interested in the first female president and other issues she promotes, when her top aide would not recognize the many of you listening right now who are working mothers as a family?
Yeah. So here's another thing. So the Clinton spokesperson, Nick Merrill, told the New York Post, oh, she wasn't actually on staff for that. Her name was just on the masthead during that period. Now, could you imagine if our names were on a masthead writing stuff like this? Empowerment of women does more harm than benefit to the cause of women on their relationships with men. By placing women in the care and protection of men and by making women responsible for those under her charge, she argued Islamic values generate a sense of compassion in human and family relations. So subjugation of women. So, but don't worry, Huma Abedin was only on the masthead of the journal.
Don't know a lot of honorary people who end up on the masthead of a major newspaper.
No, I mean, this is her family's. I just want to point out that if this was anyone else other than Huma Abedin, who is so close to Hillary Clinton, I mean, first of all, with Anthony Weiner, I think they would be gone. You'd be disassociated already. You wouldn't want her around because even if she was good at her job, too distracting. But this, I don't care how good at your job you are. It's one thing if your husband is kind of is a mess. It's another when you're putting your name on hate material,
And that's what it is.
And 9/11, not truther 9/11 stuff. This is not conspiracy. This is blaming the U.S. for our policies for 9/11. So they're not saying, oh, someone else.
So I want to ask our audience this question. Who's talking about this? Where is this being discussed?
New York Post.
Yeah. New York Post, us, a couple of, I think Glenn Beck may have mentioned it. That's about it. Now, this is a big deal. We want your comments on this on 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
And I would tell, remember the smear campaign against Michelle Bachmann,
right?
Former congresswoman and presidential candidate, very successful, when she brought this up about Huma Abedin.
Yeah.
And there was a smear campaign, and a lot of the mainstream conservatives, I'll tell you, a lot of mainstream conservatives came out against Michelle Bachmann. Here's the evidence. We're not just talking, oh, she's got some relation. This, she is on. Her name is on.
Let's get Michelle Bachmann on the broadcast tomorrow.
You know, it's one thing to say, oh, your parents wrote something you don't agree with, but you put it on the masthead, you are responsible for this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that I never understood this was Huma Abedin. I mean, throughout this whole time, 1990s to 2008, literally until she's at the State Department, she's working for Hillary Clinton, First Lady, working for Hillary Clinton as a White House intern, working for Hillary Clinton as a senator in the campaigns.
Right.
And yet she's still putting her name on publications. I've never heard of any campaign, any kind of public that would allow a top aide like this to even be associated with anything other than the candidate themselves.
Guess what? You're working for Hillary Clinton. The rules don't apply. Fan, you work for a member of Congress. Were you allowed to have side projects?
Gosh, no. I certainly couldn't have put my masthead on something like this. And listen, I would just say this. If your name was on this masthead, if my name was on this masthead and it came out, the very first thing we would do, Jay, is absolutely disavow that. And if you read all these comments, this is not really Huma Abedin disavowing this publication. It is her simply saying, I didn't write it, I didn't edit it, but nowhere does she just strictly disavow it. And I just say one more thing. It would be a little hard for the president to force Secretary Clinton to do something about this because Valerie Jarrett's ties, really not that different, Jay. I mean, this
You're
is rampant
correct.
In this administration.
And especially with Iran. No different. So we're going to take calls when we come back from the break. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. We want to talk about this Huma Abedin situation. How does it play out? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. A couple people holding. Let's save those calls over for the next segment.
That's good. We do have
a couple phone lines open, so 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to ask you to do something in a moment, but before I do, I want Logan to go through how you can get the next 30 minutes of this broadcast. And don't forget, we're going to do a live band concert tonight around during the 9 o'clock hour Eastern time, sometime in there for probably about 20 minutes, we'll do 4 or 5 songs, and we're going to release a new video during that you're going to see a new music video.
Yep, so premiere there. So, all right, if you are leaving us or you have to leave us, you think you have to leave us because your radio station ends the show, don't worry. We have 30 more minutes. You can get that many different ways. Easiest way, ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope. All of them broadcast a live streaming video, television style, multicam, looks great. Great on your TV, great on your phone. You can get in there. Facebook and Periscope get to comment. You get to engage with other people and also comment and gets to us. We can get those on the air. Another great way to do it. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110 when the line's open. There's one line open right now. Never mind, it's gone. And it's like, I felt like an auctioneer there. Or you can join us later on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, or you can watch this show archive the last 5 shows, all our movies, everything else that we do video-wise, our weekly television show on the ACLJ app, now on Roku and on Apple TV. You can also get it weekly, obviously, on television.
All right, I've got an email that's going out today on the genocide issue, as Stan and I talked about. We are at the UN on that right now. Here's what we've got. This is to end the genocide and get international action, actually. 66% of Syrian Christians decimated. Iraq's Christians, 82% destroyed or displaced. Number staggering. The pain is unbearable. It's our duty to defend, and we're doing that at the UN. We want you to sign our petition at ACLJ.org, but let me tell you what we also need you to do. We need you to join with us in our matching challenge campaign. We are behind. We need your help. ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate is tax deductible. We get a matching gift for it. Respond to that email. If you're not getting your meal signed up for those, we want you to do it. ACLJ.org. Let me also say this. We're within a month of releasing Unholy Alliance, Russia, Iran, Radical Islam's Agenda. We've got the definitive book on this. Without it, I don't think this is the definitive book on this topic. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. Barnes & Noble actually sent it out as an early release today that they are starting to take orders. So it's called Unholy Alliance. We encourage you to get it, and we'll get it up.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
We will fight for the right to
talked about the it was an interesting start of the broadcast. We talked about the situation with our lawsuit against where we're actually defending Gush Etzion and this Palestinian Authority agitated group. The lead guy in this organization, the lead plaintiff, has called for what he calls an intifada on America's school campuses and encourages fifth graders to dress up as in the United States as Palestinian freedom fighters. This is the plaintiff in the case. So we're in federal court on that. Now we've been talking about also the situation with Huba Abedin. And Jordan's going to lay out a case here, folks, because it's very important. For I want everybody to listen with your ear. Everybody, ears open. I want you to understand this. Huba Abedin is on the masthead of this Muslim minority journal. She has been for like 20 years. She's Hillary Clinton's number one aide. If anybody else would have been saying the things that they said, they would be not only discredited, they would be removed from the campaign, and groups like the Human Rights Campaign would be out saying these people need to go. So Jordan's going to lay this case out for you because, folks, this is the duplicity of what's going on right now.
So Huma Abedin is, until 2008 and from since the mid-1990s, was on the masthead as the publisher and as an assistant editor at what is named and still exists, the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs. Now, among things that are in this, and I tweeted out the New York Post article, no one's denying that this exists. Even Huma Abedin is not denying it exists. One of the parts, of course, you talked, Dad, about the 9/11 info, blaming the U.S. foreign policy. But there's another part, which I think, you know, on the liberal side should cause even more outrage. And I, you know, because we feel this pressure all the time from liberal groups, gay rights groups, etc., which I think is misplaced. But it's said, one, that families should not be recognized if it involves a working mom, a single mom, or gay couples that have children, that they should not be recognized legally as families.
Okay, so what should the Human Rights Campaign be saying
to them? Human Rights Campaign should be calling on Huma Abedin should be fired from the Clinton campaign. They called on me to be fired from a campaigns I've worked on, and I've never said anything close to that. I was actually telling you about, you know, DOMA and defending it in court, and also on when it comes to the military, don't ask, don't tell, saying is okay to repeal that. Still getting attacked by the Human Rights Campaign.
I've certainly
never said that they shouldn't be recognized as families or that working women. What about all the NOW and the women's groups? Huma Abedin should be condemned, but you guess what, folks? The gay rights groups, they don't condemn the Islamic radicals, even though they execute you for being gay in those countries. Most of the time, I'm sure if you find in here, they would believe, kind of like the shooter's father, Omar Mateen's father, that gays should be executed. And they are routinely in the Islamic world, probably more so than any other place in the world because it actually violates criminal law. So why are the women's groups and the gay rights groups not calling for Huma Abedin to be fired?
Because
she's a Muslim.
Right.
And so Muslims get a pass on this in America. And that's what's sickening to me about the far left activists and why Human Rights Campaign and all of the gay rights groups and all the women's rights groups on the left are totally discredited in my mind. They are the worst because they allow this to happen all around the world as long as it's done in the name of Islam.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open right now, 1-800-684-3110. I'm sure people will call about that, 1-800-684-3110. Yeah, there are comments that are coming. Let me pull them up here, so I didn't mean to go away from the mic. I just can't see there. What can be done? Will anything be done? This is from Karen.
Well, I want to say something about this to underscore what Jordan said, because I think this is a big deal. I think this is, we're exposing, you know, we like to lay out the evidence and the facts for you. Now, Hillary Clinton's running to be president of the United States. I'm not endorsing or opposing. I'm just saying this is what it is. Okay, her number one advisor is Huma Abedin. If we said what Huma Abedin said and we worked for Donald Trump, which we don't, or George Bush or Jeb Bush or whoever it was, you'd be fired, as you should be, for those statements. We've been criticized for statements we didn't even make, okay? And we've been criticized, and we never made those statements. She can't deny these statements are made. Her defense is, my name is just on the masthead as an editor of the newspaper that is condemning these things. You tell us what you want to think about it. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110, your comments and calls when we come back from the break. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. And join us on Facebook on tonight around 9 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to do a live jam session. You're not going to want to miss it. aclj.org. We've got a brand new music video we're going to release during that. And we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And again, don't forget the matching challenge at aclj.org.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and Jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about Huma Abedin. We've talked about our lawsuit that we're defending in federal court brought by agitators of the affiliated with the Palestinian Authority, including those calling for an intifada and encouraging American students to dress up as Palestinian freedom fighters. So that's in federal court. We'll be filing our first briefs October 6th. We are going to go right to the phones because people have been holding for a while. Let's get those calls.
Yeah, let's go to Steve, who's calling in Seattle, Washington. You're on the air, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have two comments and then a question. I'll get to the, Abedin, I mean, it's amazing.
I'm having a little trouble. Let's start. Hey, Steve, because you've been holding, I want to get this right. We're having a little trouble hearing you. So let's go ahead and do it again. Yeah. Say it again, Steve. All right, Steve. We're going to go to Steve's call. All right, Steve. Steve, go ahead and start again. See if we got a better connect here.
Okay, with Huma Abedin, a few decades ago, I don't even think a person with those types of policy views or sympathies towards Arab nations would even have access to the White House.
Right.
And with the 1967 land, almost like going back to different borders before wars were fought, I mean, it's almost like land reform to the communist theory. Like once people their land.
You're absolutely correct. But you bring up the point, if you had these views, how can you be in public life like this? But what Jordan said, and I think we need to underscore it again, is because she's a Muslim, she gets a pass. That's it.
Yeah, because and all Muslims do. I mean, see, all radical Islamists, and not all Muslims share this view in America. In fact, many have modernized their views considerably, like other faith groups. And it's one thing, you talk about the legality of gay marriage, this and that, which, by the way, has been settled by courts now. Right. So is the issue of serving in the military.
Right.
So those issues are kind of put to the side, except for when you're calling for people to be put to death or because of their sexuality, which the Islamic world does, including where Huma Abedin's she actually arranged for Hillary Clinton to speak at a school in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Her mom wears the hijab. Again, she has a right to do that. But this is a radical family. And they're good at what they do. Don't get distracted by the fact she's married to Anthony Weiner, who's Jewish. And this is all part of that game.
Right.
All part of that game.
It's
Takiyah. How do you infiltrate the most powerful halls of the evil country? Right, America. You do everything possible to get there. So if you got to marry someone who is Jewish, and if you've got to, kind of support
Western.
Some of these policies, right? I mean, she's very formal in the way she does. She's not wearing hijab. She doesn't appear to be that religious. Yet she had her name on a masthead for over a decade of a radical Islamic journal that said that gay families should not even be recognized by law as having any rights. How about this? Working mothers So married couples, a man and a woman, but the mother works, should not have legal rights as families. Like, the kids should be taken away is what they're calling for. Her name appears on every single one of these journals, and yet I don't hear a gay rights group condemning her. I don't hear a women's rights group condemning her, and I don't see Hillary Clinton firing her. And she won't, because she's so close to the campaign. And this, again, tells me why you cannot trust the Clintons. It is so concerning when they put these kind of individuals around them. But in this election, because it's very complicated because of Donald Trump, the trustworthy issue is just not getting the same kind of attention. Right. I mean, as we said, it's in the New York Post, Glenn Beck, The Blaze, and we're talking about it. I haven't seen it anywhere else yet. Maybe it will explode. I think hopefully it will, because more people need, you know what? But the one reason it won't is because the liberal world protects radical Muslims, and it will be the downfall of all those. You know who they're going to be coming for first? Not so much the fundamentalist Christians, who they actually can get along with a bit better. It's going to be the liberal gay journalist who get killed by the Islamic radicals.
Thrown off the top of the
first.
Buildings.
That's who dies first. And the single mothers who get their children taken away, which we've had to deal with in the Islamic world. After they kill the husband for being a Christian, they try to then take the kids away because of this exact theory.
We had this actually in a case.
That single mothers do not have legal rights to their children.
Let me tell you this. We don't have time to get into it today, but we're going to talk about that case tomorrow, because that's a perfect example of what this masthead means when your name's on this masthead. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's take another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Robert, who's been holding a while in Temple, Texas.
Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question really about Trump and his perspective on Israel from your first segment, but I think I want to change that.
Let me address that one first, though. Let's address that, because you asked that question. So this is what Donald Trump said at AIPAC. Here it is.
When I'm president, believe me, I will veto any attempt by the UN to impose its will on the Jewish state. It will be vetoed 100%.
Now, there was some nuance before that led up to this, and this was a statement he had to make, because before, and I'll get Than and Jordan to comment on this, Robert, before this, he was kind of equivocal on engaging in the Middle East. He wanted to be an honest broker, and he said he didn't want to take sides, and that concerned a lot of us that defended Israel. So Than, that kind of post-statement was the reaction to that.
Yeah, the first statement might have been somewhat concerning, but I can't stress enough, Jay, how important that soundbite you just played is, because that is a potential president of the United States promising what the traditional historical position of the United States on this issue has been for decades, but not this administration.
Correct.
Over the last 7 years, we have consistently walked away from a promise to veto these threatening resolutions. And, Jay, the last time we were up, we did not promise to veto it at all. We did end up going down and vetoing it, but in the process, a lot of nations walked away from Israel.
We had to work really hard to get that veto in place, though, Than, as you remember, and you were working on that. So this wasn't so easy, and we had to really work it. And that's why I'm telling you, folks, the day after the election and before the new president is sworn in, that 71 days, we got to be on guard, a team just to deal with that.
But also, I think his unequivocal comment was taken a bit out of context. He was speaking directly to the Palestinian-Israel negotiations. Yep. You know, he calls himself the ultimate deal maker. And what he said was this would be the ultimate, most difficult, maybe impossible. So I think he was being realistic, deal to ever, you know, come up with, to ever negotiate. Yep. And so he wasn't talking about Israel generally as being a neutral party, but specifically trying to play an important role with the Palestinians. I will say this about, and he's called Israel our number one ally, but I will say this about Hillary Clinton. She will too. The real contrast there is on Iran, but Hillary Clinton is actually probably a lot more popular in Israel than Barack Obama, than President Obama. Yes, they don't love the Iranian deal, but she's always been a bit more hawkish and supportive of Israel. So I don't know if we'll get as much contrast. It'll be up to Donald Trump, really, to see how much contrast we'll get between the two candidates on this specific issue of Israel.
By the way, interesting op-ed. I'm going to encourage you to read it in the Wall Street Journal from our friend Ambassador John Bolton. It said, what Trump's foreign policy gets right. The GOP's nominee speech last week was a serious contribution in sharp contrast, and this was his words, with Clinton and Obama's non-strategy talking about Middle East engagement. All right, let's take another call, Logan.
Let's go to Deborah in Texas.
Hey, Deborah. And then we'll get some comments also from Facebook and Periscope. Hey, Deborah, go ahead.
I just had the question, how is it possible for our country or any other country to decide the borders of another country?
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be. I mean, there's the international law that applies in the law of armed conflict and the international law of war. And those borders, everybody when you say pre-67 borders, let's not forget who agitated the war against Israel in 1967 that allowed Israel to increase its territorial control, its state control. It was Jordan. It was Egypt. It was Syria. That's who the promulgators of this, really the Russians, who were the promulgators of all of this. And then Israel was able to take over Jerusalem from bunker. There's a fascinating story about this, the battle for Jerusalem, which if we do this Gush Etzion and for 1948, I'd love to do for the what's called Ammunition Hill in Jerusalem. If you've been there, you've seen it, where they were able to go in. There's great video. We'll get it for the team tomorrow. It's all over the internet where their paratroopers are talking about going into Jerusalem. It's great stuff, and they actually have them walking into and going in. So, look, government shouldn't be able to do that, but that's, fam, when you deal with the UN, you never know what you're going to get, and that's why we got to be aggressive on all this.
Well, plus we should underscore that the U.S. position on this and the Israel position on this actually is a negotiated settlement between Israel and the Palestinians. What we fight against, Jay, is groups like the United Nations trying to force those lines. And in this case, those lines just happen to be indefensible, which, of course, is why Palestine wants them so that Israel can be wiped off the map. But again, the U.S. position and Israel's position is that it should be negotiated between the two parties.
Let me tell you who's controlling this. Russia, Iran, and Syria. That's who we're fighting, Russia, Iran, and Syria, which is also what we talk about in our brand-new book, Unholy Alliance. It's going to be out in less than a month. You can pre-order it now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I encourage you to do it. Really make a difference, folks. This is, I think, without a doubt, our best book on this topic. Great information historically, and also even talks about some of the biblical aspects of it as well. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, do we have any comments that have been coming? I want to get to those. You want to save those for the next segment?
Yeah, there are comments. A lot of people chime in on this, obviously. One person said, awesome program, Jay. Thanks for your honesty and enlightenment.
We laid it out there for everybody,
person
Logan.
Just said, she's a working female.
Yeah. Yes.
That alone.
Well, I mean, go ahead,
Jordan.
I mean, Jordan said that for a reason. This is really bothering us.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, okay, first of all, we know the Islamists don't like gays. But the fact that they're saying that women who work should not be recognized, or even, this is including women who are married, should not be recognized as family, so having no right to their children. And of course, single moms, I'm sure there's plenty listening here,
broadcast,
that they should have no right to their children. And we have direct experience with how Muslim leaders will try to take kids away from single mothers.
We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's broadcast. We've got a lot more ahead. 1-800-684-3110. We're opening your phone lines up. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. And Logan, let's get people to call for this last segment.
That's right. I got a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard.
Right.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
podcast, everyone. We're taking your calls in this last round here. 1-800-684-3110. If you enjoyed that music tonight, our band will be performing live during the 9 o'clock hour Eastern time. We're going to have a number of probably four songs for you and a music video on a brand new song that we've done. We're going to release during the live performance.
I got a comment about that from Aaron, who says, hello from Germany. Rock on, Jay.
Okay. I've seen Aaron has been on before. Aaron, she's watched us before.
Aaron likes the rock.
Okay. Well,
Germany,
then,
known for their metal. So yeah. Good. All right. So
go ahead and watch tonight from all over the globe. Right.
Phone lines are open again. 1-800-684-3110. Historically, we got a couple lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Ella in Portland, Oregon.
Hello, Jay.
What? Yes.
Okay. My question is this. How did this favoritism towards Muslims in the United States begin? What's the origin of it?
Well, you know where I lay it on? You know, we didn't. President Obama apologized for the United States being a nation founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Let me tell you, that's where this whole thing is. And he set in motion this politically correct world. Let me play you his speech from June of 2007.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although as I mentioned, you know, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals and a set of values.
You know, Nazi Germany was a nation of citizens, so that's a non-statement. This was in 2009, by the way, right? This was the apology tour. And this is what he thinks is okay. I mean, the president, that he doesn't want our Judeo-Christian heritage. But Huma Abedin, Secretary Clinton's number one aide, is on the masthead of a hateful Muslim publication condemning gays and women and working women, and nobody's saying anything. And Jordan sent out a challenge to Media Matters, so I'm sure we'll report on this. Go ahead and report on that. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your comments as well.
All right, Phil in California.
By the way, it's pure political correctness. Okay, Phil, go ahead.
Hi. Yep. I have a question about what is fueling the liberal left, this insane love affair that they have with Islam, which is a world religion, and defending it despite the fact that they've clearly indicated they hate the U.S.
Yeah, because they hate America. The liberal left wants to see not America destroyed, but the fall of America as a superpower. They don't want us to be the strongest country in the world. They don't want us to be the military power. They hate our morals. They hate our Judeo-Christian values. So you've got this group out there who is, they kind of have associated with some kind of radical movement. And they don't get the fact that the first people who'd be killed by them is them.
Right.
It's not
the least
us.
Liberal religion.
Not us, actually. I mean, they don't like Christians, by the way. They don't like Christians and they don't like people with Jewish backgrounds.
Yeah.
But they actually get to survive under these radical Islams. You have to pay a tax, but you can survive. Guess who doesn't get to survive? Gays. So gays and lesbians, single mothers, working women don't get, you don't even get to drive a car. And if you do, guess what? You're executed. The first people to die under radical Islamic regimes would be the liberals in America supporting them.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, it's the least liberal religion probably on planet Earth. I mean, I'm sure
correct.
There's some fringe things, but of the big big four.
Even of the fringe ones, I think that they would be the most radical when it comes to killing people.
And you've seen some people, like a Bill Maher or someone like that, that actually comes out and says, look, I'm as liberal as they come, as atheists they come. Why are we, as liberals, all supporting Islam and promoting this is no big deal, not talking about this? And he gets destroyed. Like, the liberal press hates him because of that. And it's really unfortunate because he at least comes out and sees the facts saying, hey, look, if we're going to fight for all liberal ideas, what are we doing associating ourselves with?
I'm giving you a little bit of what we're talking about on the broadcast tomorrow. But Harry Hutchison, our director of policy, gave me this morning. And we're going to get into this tomorrow. Washington Examiner reports that the United States Department of Homeland Security, when it vets immigrants coming in and visa applicants, are asking them whether they are Nazi sympathizers or Nazi veterans, but do not ask whether they are members of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or members of other Islamic terror groups. They do say, are you a terrorist? But they're asking them whether they're Nazis. You think maybe in 45 or 50 years you'd update your request? Because most of the Nazis, thank God, are done. But this is the nature. This is the nature of our government. We'll get to that when we come back. Go ahead.
Well, I just love, I went to People for the American Way's website, Right Wing Watch, which always comes after us.
Yeah.
And literally, they've got attacking Michelle Bachmann on their homepage. But the thing that their pop-up is, reject anti-gay hate, sign our petition here.
Yeah.
How about reject anti-gay hate, call on Hillary Clinton to get rid of Huma Abedin, sign that
Which
petition.
Which is our next call.
That should be their petition.
Yeah, that should be the next call.
Linda in Orange, Texas, you're on the air.
Yes, Linda, go ahead.
Yes, I want to know what we the people can do about getting this Huma lady out of there.
Well,
I mean, how if she's got these beliefs, how can she even get any kind of clearance and work with it? We need her out.
Well, it's, look, Fan, elections have consequences. Again, we don't ever tell you who to vote for. We're just laying the evidence out here. But this is a, if you're concerned from a policy standpoint, this is a serious policy issue because this is the person whispering in the ears of Hillary Clinton right now.
One of the questions that we've gotten a lot today, Jay, is why should we care who's advising the Secretary of State or the President of the United States? And I would just encourage Linda and everyone else to look back at the emails that have come out during this whole server issue, during the whole Clinton Foundation issue. There were really two people driving policy for the Secretary of State, Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin. If the next President of the United States is advised by Huma Abedin, the policies that Jordan is talking about, those are going to become the policies of the United States because the president has a track record of following Huma Abedin's advice. That's why you should be concerned.
But, you know, Than, you mentioned Valerie Jarrett, and that's why the deal with Iran is because of Valerie Jarrett.
Well, this looks an awful lot like that. I mean, the president sent his signal with that speech in 2009 at Cairo, but you know what? A lot of that implementation was done by Valerie Jarrett, and her advising of him looks identical to Huma Abedin's advising of Secretary of State. So, you know, Jay, we've had this for 8 years. We could have it for another four if Huma Abedin is in the Oval Office.
Yeah, so there you go. So elections have consequences, folks. Let's take a couple of comments here at the end of the broadcast. Don't forget, tonight we're going to do music live for the Jay Sekulow Band. We're going to want you to stay tuned for that on my Facebook page as well.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited about that. And there was one person, but at this point, what difference does it make?
Makes a lot of difference. We're talking about the Huma Abedin, the situation. A lot of difference because this is policy of the United States going forward.
And we're talking about the potentially most powerful person in the world with an advisor tied to this kind of radical Islam. It's not just this Muslim Brotherhood connection. Her name's on the masthead. It's no more conspiracy theories. It's no more reports. This is the truth. She allowed her name to be connected to it. It's not blaming her because of what her parents did. Her name was on it, and she could have at any time said, Mom, Dad, get my name off that. I don't support that, or just take my name off it. You don't have to tell them I don't support it. Just not good for me to be on
there. Not good politically.
But guess what? She kept it on there until she joined the State Department. So as long as possible, because at that point, you can't work for the government and have your name on things.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We've got a lot to talk about tomorrow. Don't forget, we are in our matching challenge campaign right at the end of it here. We're a little bit behind last year. We really could use your help. I encourage everybody that's listening to go to ACLJ.org. Go over to ACLJ.org and say yes. I want to support the ACLJ. Any amount, $5 becomes 10, 10 becomes 20, 20 is 40, 40 is 80. So it makes a huge difference. Like I said, we're about $100,000 behind. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We've got some breaking news that we will hit tomorrow. You want to mention it really quickly here, Jordan?
New emails, Washington Times breaking from Clinton Foundation to Huma Abedin, asking to arrange special meetings for the Clinton Foundation donors. Just breaking right now.
5 minutes over?
We're going to go 5 minutes over for Facebook and Periscope. Get your friends
involved.
We're going to stay after for a moment.
Yeah, if you're listening, log over to Facebook and Periscope. We're going to keep going for a few more minutes.
Yeah, so Facebook and Periscope, stay with us. Radio audience, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll have more on it, but we're going to stay over for a few minutes. We've got some breaking news here.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for